UB2009 is drawing to a close. How important are the events of unleavened bread to God? Where do we go from here? Have we remembered that Christ was sacrificed and resurrected by this point in time? Do you know what God wants us to remember about this time of year? One of the things that he wants it in the subconsciousness of his people. Why? Because God has purchased us. He's redeemed us. He's freed us. He's delivered us. In a sense, he has saved us. So the answer in my sermon is this, is God has saved us. If you want to put delivered, you can put delivered, but God has saved us. Yes, he is in the process of saving us and bringing us to eternal life, because we do not have eternal life yet, nor are we saved from the final point of view, but he has saved us. He has brought us out of sin. There's an interesting topic that God talks throughout all the Bible. And that topic is talked about today and through these days. You can find it multiple times, from Joshua to Revelation. I don't want to bring in the first five books because it would be brought up so much that I'm not sure I could count. But yes, he talks to us about eternal life and the process of saving us. But the thing that he mentions multiple times, and he uses repetition as a form of emphasis, because he wants to communicate this particular matter and make it clear to us. So the question is are we listening? Or are we reading? So what is this subject that God talks about from Joshua to Revelation? Well, this subject is discussed over 60 different times. More than 60. But it is in hundreds of verses in that area. I purposely did not count every reference because, again, it would take too much. But the subject is God bringing Israel out of Egypt. In some form or fashion, the coming out of Egypt is tied to God. The coming out of Egypt is not Israel doing it themselves, though they walked and God mentions that. But it focuses on God bringing Israel out of Egypt. Now, whether you want to say Israel is the church or Israel is Israel, God has done both, has done it for both of us. Give you an example. Turn to Joshua 24. This is one of the first references after the first five books. Joshua 24, verse 5. He says, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came onto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers, with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Not long after that, just go to Judges. Judges 6. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus the Lord God of Israel, I brought you from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Over and over again throughout the Bible, over 60 times when you group things together, God communicates this particular subject in his word. He saved us. He delivered us. And by doing this, he wants us to make a choice. Remember I said in your subconscious, God wants this idea in our subconscious. And he's placed this particular idea in very significant parts of the Bible, in his holy days. But he placed it in a spot in the Bible that we should all recognize. In fact, it's found in at least two significant spots in Scripture. Turn to Exodus. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 2. It says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. God is telling us there are no other gods, and he wants us to remember him. Why? Because he saved us. Now that's an important point. Now turn to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. You'll recognize this is another spot where God has the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5, verse 14. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant or your maidservant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So at least two of the commandments, God mentions the fact that he saved us and he brought us out of Egypt. So you can see God wants this in our subconscious. God wants us to remember this because he brought us out and he has saved us. He has delivered us. Now, in this, there's two points. One, he shows us what he did for us. And two, he shows whom he did it for. Now notice, in the Ten Commandments, he doesn't say, I delivered your forefathers. Or I delivered, fathers of old. He says, I delivered you. He makes it personal. Because it is personal. God made sure the wording in these verses was the way it was, so it would be personal. So that should go into our subconscious. It wasn't just an event that happened to our forefathers, but an event that happened for each one of us personally. For this event, the coming out of Egypt, out of sin, happened at our repentance and baptism by accepting Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection to life. God didn't leave Israel in slavery, nor us under sin. He has matched what he's done to Israel in our lives. We are no longer under the consequences of sin, nor should we practice it as a way of life. Are we a slave or are we a son? We need to choose. That's the choice that God gives us. Turn to Romans. Romans 6. But it fits so aptly in where we are and what these holy days picture. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We died when we went down in that baptismal water. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, we don't see that now, but it's something that we are going to look forward to. Again, God has saved us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. We no longer want to be that slave. We no longer should choose death, that we should choose life. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no dominion over him. Christ sacrificed himself and he died for us so that we could live. For in that he died unto sin once, but he in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but live unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The fruits of the Spirit that God gives us. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. God has done something for us. God has showed who he's done it for. God explains to us what our responsibility is and how we should live. And this is part of the theme that occurs throughout the Bible over and over again as well. The Bible tells us to choose, that God gives us a choice. But he's called us to be his sons, and he wants us to choose life. 1 Corinthians 10. Kind of Paul's summary of one of those verses in the Bible that refers to Egypt. 1 Corinthians 10. Nor is it his only summary. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of that same spiritual meat, and all did drink that spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was the God, Christ was God, Christ is God, but he's the one that personally worked with Israel at that point in time. But many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they so lusted. Now notice these things. I bet there's not one thing in here that we can say we haven't done. So that means we need to choose life a whole lot more often. Neither be you idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured, were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now if I'm going to make a quick comment, look at the state of affairs of God's church, God's people. You can easily see how we all fit into this in one way or another, how we don't get along or throw stones at each other. Do we forgive? Are we willing to work with our brothers? These words are for our admonition. Do we take it seriously? Or are we going to forget? Are we going to forget and not choose life? In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul again writes about this time of year, but I didn't include this as mentioning about the Passover or about coming out of Egypt because he doesn't mention this, but it's important. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God delivered us from sin. He made us unleavened. Again, it is God that does the saving. We cannot save ourselves. He brings us deliverance. He gives us the opportunity to choose life and death. He wants us to choose life. He wants us to look forward. He wants us to use His Holy Spirit and have Christ live in us. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, I think is a good summary. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who is God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Thank you, God.